Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, Ed engineering and producing our show. Ed, give me a thumbs up. Did you have a great weekend? There it is. Big thumbs up from Ed. Great weekend for him. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 16th of February, 2015. Used to be a long time ago we celebrated February 12th. That was Lincoln's birthday. Then the 22nd of February was the birth of our founder of our republic, George Washington. But now we do President's Day, which honors all of our chief executives, so that's where we are. It is a holiday for some folks. For others, it's kind of business as usual. Hope you had a great weekend, the work week off to a pretty good start. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It's a very strong signal almost all the way to Phoenix, east almost to Lordsburg, New Mexico, and south into Old Mexico. It's got a great reach, and if you miss a program, we've got it for you on the podcast at buckmastershow.com. And of course, we live stream the show. That means if you're anywhere near a computer, you can live stream us at buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. Monday, we get things going with our Monday political face-off. Then at 12:30 today, we'll talk about the Ducey-Douglas dust-up with David Safir. David is the education blogger for the Tucson Weekly. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Our Monday political commentators, John Munger is with me, seated to the right of me. He is a Tucson attorney, been around these parts for a long time, knows the political scene very intimately. He's the former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Seated to the left of me is attorney Vince Robigo, again, a guy who has been around politics a very long time in this area. I'm making you guys sound like you're
I got more gray hair than I do, Bill.
What the heck? Vince is a former Arizona Attorney General candidate, and that was in 2010 as well. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. First of all, Vince and John, did you have a very nice weekend, both of you?
Had a wonderful weekend.
Very good, great. Very good.
We watched a little basketball, I assume, from both of you gentlemen?
Yes. Watched the Wildcats rampage over their opposition.
No problem with the Washington
They came out ready for a fight, and I loved it. I love the guards driving and the wingmen driving. That's what we need rather than stand around the perimeter and pass the ball around.
So you're saying more penetration.
More penetration.
All right.
Absolutely.
Vince, you're...
Hey, anytime the Wildcats win, however we get there, I am happy. So I'm, my son is 10 years old, and he's really into basketball right now. And so he's loving watching the Wildcats this season.
That'd be interesting to see what kind of a seed we get. I think a number one seed is still attainable, even though we are ranked at number 7. But we'll see. There's still a lot of time to go before really March Madness.
Don't know why Gonzaga's ranked above us. We beat them.
Yeah. Beat him. That was an overtime, wasn't that an overtime game?
I don't remember. No, we beat him.
Yes. Yeah. It's more complex nowadays when they do base it on RPI and
yeah, they don't have that high an RPI rating either.
So that'd be interesting how they got the votes.
Last week, an advisory committee tentatively giving the okay to support a change, Vince and John, in the way the city of Tucson elects its city council. This is the Tucson Charter Review Committee. They're suggesting that council members represent a specific ward to help ensure that members are accountable to wards that they represent. The committee also considered adding a mayoral veto power. In a ward-only system, the mayor would be the only member of the council accountable to all the voters citywide. Vince, what do you think of that? Should we change the way we elect council people?
I don't think that helps resolve any of the issues that we may face, that the city may face as a system. And on top of that, it's been tried several times before, and the voters have always rejected charter changes like this. The issues that I see are some accountability, and the accountability going directly from agency heads, department heads, who answer, who have civil service protection. And John might be surprised that this is one area where I think, for example, the department heads ought not to have civil service protections if they're going to accept that kind of a managerial position.
I agree with that.
And then what you have, though, is you have the city manager who says, hey, well, I can't just fire this person. They're civil service protected. And I'm all for civil service protections for everybody else. But then you have the issue of the city council as a council is a policy setting entity. So what they do is they set policy. Then you have city and staff members and departments that go out and implement what they view as the policy. It may not be correct. It may not be the vision the city is pushing. And you don't have that sort of top-to-bottom accountability. And I think you could have some structural changes where, for example, if the city council, whomever they may be, all wards and the mayor, had the ability to hire and fire and also be involved in personnel, executive session, of course, personnel, every year do your annual performance review. Involved in those decisions, I think you would see much more accountability. Right now, the system is a little splintered. The system is called a weak council system, so to speak. The manager has, strong power. I think those are the areas where I think you could have very positive changes to have more accountability.
Yeah, you're saying the department heads really have too much power right
now. I think they have – whether they have too much power or not, they have to have the power to do their jobs. What I'm saying is we don't have the sort of the accountability that flows upstream to the top for those who are the elected policymakers. I think if you gave the city council, all of them, including the mayor, more power over – who sits in the various agency decisions, then you would see policy being implemented one way or the other.
John, what do you think of ward only?
Well, let's describe for your listeners so they know what we have today.
Okay.
And what we have today is a system that was used throughout the South. I like to mention Selma, Alabama.
Really?
This was the system that was used throughout the South to isolate the blacks and to guarantee the whites absolute control over the elections. And the way the system currently works is, yes, we have nominations, a primary by ward, but the general election occurs for every ward is a citywide election. So you have the same majority in the city, and it's about 5-3 Democrats, electing a majority. They have the same majority electing all wards. So what it means, it's a tyranny of the majority. And that was used in the South to prevent the blacks from having a ward of their own because the same white majority would elect all wards. So the blacks could never have, just like the Republicans can never have under our system, a ward because you'd have the same majority electing everybody. So that was outlawed. That system was outlawed by the federal government as part of the civil rights action. Now, that didn't happen in Tucson because we weren't considered part of the Deep South and the federal government never focused on that. But the effect of it is you have this Democratic majority that elects every member of the council, and for that reason, the Republicans can't elect anybody from a ward, even though it's a Republican ward. This system that they're talking about changing to would be what the same type of system that has been used to reform the tyranny of the majority voting system in the South, where you would elect your councilman in a general election by ward, so that if you had a Democratic ward, they could elect a Democrat. If you had a Republican ward, they could elect a Republican. Just like in the South, if you had a white ward, the whites could elect their guy. And if you had a black ward, the blacks could elect their guy. So I'm very much in favor of this because it's no longer a tyranny of the majority. The minority can be heard in this new system. So I'm very much in favor of it. I think that what Vince is talking about is, yeah, we've tried to pass this through the people in this city a couple of times in previous elections. And, of course, the 5-3 Democratic majority won't do this. Mm. So that's the problem, okay. is they want to maintain the tyranny of their majority.
Okay, let me just get this straight. What I just heard...
What did you hear?
I heard that Republicans are essentially similar to African Americans who have been discriminated against and suffered through slavery and racial discrimination and a denial of voting privileges. And it's laughable. It's simply laughable to try to compare Republicans to some sort of disenfranchised party that is a protected class. Now, as you know, and your listeners may know this, what happened in the South and why those certain systems in the South were taken out was because white voters were discriminating intentionally and trying to set up systems to deprive black voters of having representation. Now, that's not the same as saying, oh, Republicans simply can't field a good candidate this year or next year in this ward or that ward. Because when you look at our history, the Republican Party, when they have good candidates, they can win. Let me rattle off a few names. Bob Walkup.
Yeah.
You had Fred Ronstadt. You had Kathleen Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kozacik. You had Mayor Lou Murphy. You had Laos.
Yeah.
When they run a good candidate who has their vision and they get enough votes to get somebody in, they can get people elected, and they've done it in the past. What you have here is essentially, in my view, laziness on behalf of the Republican Party in those particular wards by not bringing strong candidates.
Okay. All right, let me respond.
We do need to take the break. Can you hold your response, John, till after the break?
Sure.
Okay, and then...
just for you, Bill.
Okay, thank you very much. And Roger, I know you've been waiting to speak with us. If you would hold on through the break, we'll get right to you. Thank you very much. We'll be right back on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. This portion presented, of course, by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John, I'm so sorry. I had to kind of cut you off your response to Vince Robigo, but we did need to take the break because, of course, we want to hear from the wonderful people who support the program.
Well, absolutely. I understand.
Go ahead.
No, look, Vince is trying to discount the whole tyranny of the majority concept on the basis that Republicans in Tucson aren't comparable to black segregation in the South, and he's right that they that Republicans haven't suffered that same type of discrimination that the blacks in the South are. I don't dispute that, but a tyranny of the majority is a tyranny of the majority, and that's the way it's worked. Yes, Republicans have, from time to time, on a rare basis, been able to elect somebody. But you have to run an extraordinarily excellent candidate in order to do that. You have to work very hard, much harder than the Democrats have to do. And nobody should be put at that type of disadvantage of having to win a seat, every seat, where in a district where it's 5 to 3 Democrats, when your own ward may be a Republican ward. That's just blatantly unfair. So I think we need to go to this new system. It'll be fairer for everybody. Republicans would have a better chance of being represented in individual wards, probably not a majority, because probably not a majority of the wards are Republican.
At least maybe one.
At least get, one or two.
Okay.
We had one just recently.
Yeah, and then you took him out with your 5-3 majority rule.
No, he switched parties. Steve Kozacic. You had a Republican.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you.
I will tell you.
In a heavily Democratic area, mind you. So I disagree with what John said.
Well, I just think that there's no reason for us to have the same system that Selma, Alabama had with the tyranny of the majority, which is all we have.
Okay.
And that shouldn't be happening. We should have a genuine representative society where people can elect their own ward member.
Let's hear what Roger has to say. Roger, go ahead. You're with John and Vince.
Wow. You'd think these people would get tired of playing the race card to support everything they try to support. I get so sick of that. And actually, Vince, it was the Democrats they were stopping from doing this ward-wide voting in the South. They were the racists they were trying to protect against. Now, what if John and I proposed that we did LD-wide voting throughout the state of Arizona? I think the Democrats would then come unglued. And like John's saying, no majority is a good majority. Look at the effects. Ellie Miller, one Republican, conservative Republican, had on the Pima County Board. The city council runs that place with no voice in there. They attack the poor when they do things like pawn shop fees, when you sell something to a pawn shop. That's a direct attack against the very poorest of our community.
Okay, Roger.
But there's no voice in there to speak out against these people.
Okay, Roger. Thank you. Let's let Vince respond to your comment.
Well, you know, as far as this thing was happening in the Deep South, hey, I'm 100% with you. It was racism then, whatever party was involved back then. And it should have been stopped, and it was stopped. So to me, it's not a question that I think that makes my bigger point, which is that was all about racism. That's not the same thing as saying that Republicans are a victim of racism. It just doesn't make
sense.
It doesn't
have to be racism to make it wrong, Vince.
It's not wrong. It's not. This is the way the system is. The system has been voted on. There, you know, years ago. What people don't know.
It's not wrong. Many people don't know. You know, system. I see.
I had occasion to talk with a former elected city council member, and asked him. I said, "What's this thing?" Because you know, every time we talk about this,
yes,
John or Bruce Ash like to come and claim that the Republicans are essentially a targeted, protected class, and that this should be done away with because they're being discriminated against. These poor Republicans.
We're not claiming we're a protected class. Well, you're the one saying that.
Well, that's why they got rid of it, John. Against. They didn't get rid of it because some sort of tyranny of majority. It was based on racism and racial discrimination.
And
you know that
Voting
Rights Act was based on the racial
vehicle,
discrimination.
The vehicle.
There's no such law that says tyranny of the majority, therefore we overturn it. You know the law.
The whole Constitution, Vince, is set up to protect the minorities.
Let's talk about the facts, John.
And well, the facts are,
the facts
I'm
are,
you.
There's no law called tyranny of the majority that struck down any voting provision in the South.
Vince, you are aware, I've let you speak, so let me speak. You are aware that the whole concept of the Bill of Rights in the United States is to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority. Hmm. And we have a system here in Tucson. It is the only system like this in the whole state. And I think Roger, and it is a tyranny of the majority. It doesn't have to be racism. The only thing wrong with the world is not racism, Vince.
Well, you
a tyranny of the majority. No,
you keep
no,
comparing
you're,
it,
you're
that
the
they
one.
Got rid of this system that they
you're
did
the
in the
one
South,
comparing.
And it was based on tyranny of the majority. That's not how. Why they got rid of it.
You're playing to Roger's point. Roger's point is it doesn't just have to be racism to be wrong. And now I think he made a good point. If we, for example, were to elect the governor,
then why
just having the districts, which are substantially Republican districts, vote, you'd be very upset. So the point is that there should not be a tyranny of majority in the United States. That's why we adopted the Bill of Rights, to protect minorities and to protect individuals. There is no such protection in Tucson.
All right. Noah has emailed me during the show a few moments ago. Noah, I just got your email. Thank you. Saying many Arizona cities don't have wards and all council votes are citywide. Example, Sahorita. But Noah says John's Selma, Alabama claims are reaching. So,
well,
whatever.
It's the same system used to discriminate or against a minority. It is not a racial minority. It doesn't have to be racist to be wrong. Yes, you have small cities like Sahorita that where you don't. It's not large enough to have wards. That's not comparable to a large metropolitan area like Tucson. It doesn't. The fact they don't have ward elections in Sahorita is irrelevant to the fact every major city in the West certainly has ward elections. Okay. And the fact that small towns don't, because they're not large enough to have wards, is neither here nor there.
So that doesn't hold water.
It's just apples and oranges.
For the same reason, talking about apples and oranges, every time they try to bring this up, John or Bruce Ash, somebody else, they try to compare it to racial discrimination. He started the whole discussion. St. Bruce Ash has done the same thing, saying that this is the vestiges of the Jim Crow South right here in Tucson. You cannot deny those are the arguments you've made. And when you try to bring up racial discrimination, you and I know, as lawyers, that the reason those things got struck down in the South was for racial discrimination, not based on lofty principles of fairness and tyranny of the majority. It was about racial discrimination and representation of African Americans. You know that, John.
Well, Vince.
But yeah, you keep pushing this because you think it helps your argument.
Okay,
are you done
John's,
now?
Yeah, John's turn.
Let me say this.
Okay.
The vehicle used to discriminate against the blacks was the same system. All I'm trying to point out. The same system was used to discriminate against the blacks and to dominate the blacks in Selma as is being used here in Tucson to dominate the Republicans and treat that minority. It is not treat that minority unfairly. It is not racism, but it doesn't have to be racism to make something wrong, Vince.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. We're out of time. Vince, did you have one final quick comment?
I just was going to point out that it wasn't too long ago where you had, Bob Walkup, you had Fred Ronstadt, you had Kathleen Dunbar, and then with the swing independent vote of Carol West, you had Republicans running the city council. So all this is really, let's focus on jobs. Okay. Let's focus on what we need to fix to get our
economy
going here.
First, let's make the system
fair.
First, let's make the system fair.
All right. John Munger, Vince Robico. Gentlemen, thank you very much getting us off to a very spirited start of the new week. Hope you both have a great week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vince.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe is the guy. If you need custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and any kind of hanging systems, they'll take care of all of those needs. Moe's Gallery, Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. Thanks, Moe, for sponsoring our Monday Political Face-Off. Back right after this.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, our series Arizona Capitol Update continues. We'll have a conversation with State Representative Stephanie Mock. Also Tuesday, the Moneymaker Report, plus the author of a new book titled Health of the First Ladies. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com for anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and our audio archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a great auto mechanic, Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works is the place to go for really all of your needs for your domestic or foreign automobile. Convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway, 1046 North Beverly, for Perfection Auto Works. I strongly suggest you check out their website, perfectionautoworks.com. Thank you, Mike Emery, for your support of the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we bring in David Safir. David is the education writer, blogger for the Tucson Weekly, and on their section they call The Range at TucsonWeekly.com. He also writes a column for The Explorer. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thanks.
It is President's Day, and what have presidents in the past said about education?
Well, I decided to bring in a few quotes from presidents, and just to put this in perspective, really, the U.S. is the forerunner of all public education, education for everyone. And since then, other countries have caught up. But Jefferson was one of the early people who supported it. And he said, and this is a quote, a system of general instruction. Remember, it used to be pretty much private and for the elite. A system of general instruction which shall reach every description of our citizens, from the richest to the poorest, as it was the earliest, so it will be the latest of all the public concerns in which I shall permit myself to take an interest. So he put it right at the top. And he also said, and I think this is wonderful, this is kind of typical Jeffersonian in terms of the beauty of the language, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. It's just terrific. Jefferson's
so
great.
So public education as we know it pretty much started in this country.
It did. We made attempt through our common schools to educate more and more people. Before that, it was part of the rich. After all, you didn't need to read and write back then. And when we started educating people here, it wasn't necessary. But when a Frenchman named Alexis de Tocqueville came to the U.S. in the 19th century and wrote a famous treatise on America, he was just astounded. He said, regular old folks are standing in the streets reading the newspaper and commenting on politics. He says he'd never seen such educated people.
And it brings us to today, where some say, some lawmakers have kind of referred to public education, David Safir, as government education.
Well, yes, and it is, and that's correct. And when we're talking about money, I want to read what John Adams said, President John Adams. He said, laws for liberal education of youth. By liberal, he doesn't mean politically. He means spread out over the whole all the populace, especially of the lowest class of people, are so extremely wise and useful that to a humane and generous mind, no expense for this purpose should be thought extravagant. Mm. No expense, which I would like to say to the people up in Phoenix, no expense should be thought extravagant.
790-2040, 790-2040. We have David Saphir with us. And David, the media writers like yourself have really been having a field day with what's been going on with the feud, the showdown, the dust-up between the governor and Diane Douglas, the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. This all started over Ms. Douglas terminating the employment of two Arizona Board of Education employees.
That's exactly right. She just said, I don't want them there. And in a later statement, she called them two liberal staff. And I think if you want to know where Ms. Douglas stands politically, the fact that the Republicans have had a lock for 6 years. No, there haven't been any state officials, elected officials that have been Democrats, that they would have two liberal staff. It shows how far to the right she is. But she says two liberal staff who have publicly stated that they will block all efforts to repeal or change Common Core. And that really is the core of the issue here. She ran against Common Core. She's holding strong to that. The Republican establishment, not the right wing, but the establishment, really does want Common Core. And so she wanted to get rid of these two people as an attempt to try to finesse this into a different place.
So Doug Ducey, the governor, then went to his legal staff and probably used the words like something to the effect, hey, can we do this or can she do this?
And they found out they couldn't. And I've looked at the not so much the law as earlier rulings, maybe by an attorney general. And it sounds to me like Ducey is probably about 90% right on this. It really, she has the advice position in terms of the board, but she's only one member of the board, and she doesn't have hiring and firing. She can recommend, but that's about it. And I think he's on solid ground on that one.
You know, I have never seen a news I've been around a long time covering news, and this is one of the rare occasions, the news release that Diane Douglas sent out late last week, where she said basically to the effect, excuse me, Governor, the last time I checked, your name was not on the ballot running for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Well, this speaks really to how raw Diane Douglas is. She was on the Peoria School Board, but she's never been in a political office. And it also speaks to the fact, and this is going to be very dangerous for the Republican Party, I think the Republican establishment, that she says what she wants to say and when she wants to say it. And you remember that the Arizona Chamber of Commerce supported not her but David Garcia. So did Lisa Graham Keegan, who was really one of Ducey's main advisors, and another Republican superintendent of public instruction,
Jaime Malera. Yeah.
And Ducey endorsed Douglas, but what could he do? They were afraid of her. And truly, they were right to be afraid of her. I think they wanted to use a term they might use, the devil they knew, David Garcia, a Democrat who they wouldn't agree with, than the devil they don't, which is Diane Douglas. And she's shown herself to be really a street brawler in terms of her use of language. It's something.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line, and we will hear now from Nancy, has a comment on all of this. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I'm going to stand for Diane Douglas. She was elected by the majority of the people. That is her office. Anytime, and Ducey should know this, anytime you are a new CEO goes in, he usually gets rid of everybody around him because he's the ruler now and it's his idea. She came in against Common Core. That's why she was elected. And now these people say, no, that's what we're going to do. She was elected. They're paid. They were hired by someone else, and that is the wrong system. I am amazed at that. That would never, ever go in private life or in private business. You always hire the people, and you don't take, well, we've always done it this way, and therefore we're going to keep doing it. That's the reason you change. If a company's going down, you definitely don't keep the same employees.
Well, Nancy, I think you have some right on your side. And I think you're right that often people are allowed to fire people. And of course, when Ducey comes in, he appoints his own staff. But legally, I think legally, she has less of a leg to stand on than Ducey. But if you listen to her press conference, she admitted that. She said, listen, I don't want to litigate. I want to educate, but I'd like the legislature to clear this up. Mm-hmm. And so she basically was saying, I should have that power, and it's questionable whether I do or not. So she wanted to go in there. What makes that kind of a in-your-face statement by Douglas is she's trying to stir up a little bit of dissension within the legislature, because she knows, like you, Nancy, that a number of the legislators are anti-Common Core, and she would like them to propose a bill or bring in something to change the rules. She's the opposite of a team player, which, again, is why they were frightened of her when she won the nomination and then finally won the election.
I have to say, this is going to change it, because when somebody's going to run from office from now on, they're going to say, well, am I stuck with the staff that's there in their old ways and the reason that I was elected, that I can't change anything? And so what's going to be the purpose of my effort to be elected into this position if I'm not going to have any say? There is something majorly wrong there.
Well, we'll see. That's another thing. You know, that's another part that's in play. And I have to say, Nancy, I was one of those people who strongly supported David Garcia. I think he was the most qualified candidate for superintendent we've had in decades. I honestly still think that Diane Douglas was probably the least qualified. But having said that, I'm more on her side in this fight than I am on Ducey's, because I think she said some excellent things. And right now I find myself to some extent saying, go Diane. She has said that we need more money for schools. She said that teachers need higher salaries. She said that we have to stop this obsession on standardized testing. And those are three places where I'm in her corner entirely. So I'll tell you, if I have to pick a dog in this hunt, if I have to hitch my wagon to either Ducey or Douglas, at this moment, between those choices, I'll go with Douglas.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's 12:46 on the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition. We'll talk more with David Saphir, and we'd love to hear from folks who have questions or comments. Perhaps you don't agree with David. He would love to hear from you. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out of my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, the five-star technician got me. Adios, cucaracha.
We're five-star pest control, and we know what bugs you.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you slapping yourself with a board for taking your car to Quirky Lube? Why not a mechanic where you won't need penitence? Perfection Auto Works, since 1994, specializes in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes, and BMW. We also take in your Toyotas, Fords, and Chevys, from brakes and tune-ups to full restorations. 323-8650, perfectionautoworks.com.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway, whether it's for a weekend or even longer. It's just 3 hours from Tucson. It's just a beautiful environment to go hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay, like Bear Creek Cabins and Casitas de Gila guest houses. They also have the wonderful listing of the many things to do. So, nice getaway, southwestnewmexico.org. David Safir is with us. David is the education blogger on the column known as The Range at TucsonWeekly.com. That's where you can see his work and read his work, as well as the Tucson Explorer. We have a couple of calls. Let's take them right now. Danny, I believe you were first, then we'll get to Tom. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, first of all, I have a comment. I think if Jefferson said spare no expense, I'm not sure he would say that for public education. I'm not sure he'd say that today, because I think Jefferson was fairly fiscal, maybe not his personal life, but generally for the government, he is fiscally responsible and wouldn't pile up these huge debts that the federal government's doing. So the question I have is, if the city school system needs more money, why always pick on the state? Why not raise the local taxes of Tucson?
Okay. Thanks, Danny.
I wouldn't call it picking on the state exactly. I would say this state right now is in a state of gross under taxation. I know that some people are going to be screaming out there on the other side of the radio, but I do believe that's true, where our taxes are not only low in many areas, especially income tax, but they're unfair. They're unfairly put their weight on people who are low income because of things like sales taxes, which are so high. It's not just Tucson that needs the money. It's all of Arizona education. This weekend, I was looking at two sources in terms of the funding levels in various states. One was the census, the 2012, I think, was the most recent. And then the other was from the NEA, the National Education Association. And in one, Arizona was 47th. In the country, and the other, Arizona was 49th or 50th in the country. We're very, very low. don't just think about this in Tucson. Think about all the Arizona children for whom we all have responsibility, the ones who had $330 million illegally taken from their funds year by year by year since 2009, and still Ducey won't give it, doesn't want to give it back, especially. The legislature doesn't want to give it back. And as I said before the break, Diane Douglas is really the one champion for this who says we do need more funds.
Danny, did you want to respond at all?
Yes. Again, if all the state cities needed more for education, limit the individual school districts through the cities, voted at the city level. That's my question. Why can't the cities raise taxes?
Well, you're talking voting, and schools do try to raise bonds and overrides and things like that, and it's very, very difficult. I think this is one where we disagree. I think it should be done at the state level so that everybody gets an equal amount, it's equalized, and rather than doing it city by city, and then a rich city gets more and a poor city gets less.
Okay. Tom, you are up next with David Sefier. Tom wants to talk about TUSD. Go ahead, Tom.
Diane Douglas comes from Peoria, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if the Peoria USD is comparable in size and demographics and budgets to TUSD. I'm trying to, I know they're one of the 10 largest in the state. I'm trying to find a comparable USD that one can look at and compare it to TUSD in Arizona.
You went into my area of ignorance there, Tom. I don't know too much about Peoria. Mesa, I believe, is the only one that's of comparable size, and Mesa is possibly a little bit larger.
I think so. We are the largest school district, USD, in southern Arizona and the second largest in Arizona, and I believe Mesa is the largest.
Right, and the reason that Phoenix isn't the largest, which you'd think it would be, is it's just balkanized into, I don't know, a dozen. I'm not sure how many, but many smaller districts. And so if you want to make a comparison, you would be with Mesa, but I don't think that Mesa is demographically similar to Tucson. I think there are a lot of differences. And right now, as I said, I'm talking in the area of ignorance, so I'm not going to sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, some feel that balkanization of TUSD may be in the future for this district.
Well, someone would like it to be in the future.
Yeah, like broken up two or three ways. Maybe.
I don't think it's a good idea. I'm not sure it would be a terrible idea. I've never looked at it, but I don't think it would be a good idea because I think what you would end up with would be it broken up demographically so that there would be the Hispanic school district and maybe the middle class white school district and the upper middle class white school district, something like this. I fear that if that happened, some of the value that you get, like having one university high school for the entire district, would be lost in some of the other things. I'm certainly not in favor of it.
And speaking of TUSD, and we've only got a couple of minutes, and this is probably worthy of maybe our next month's visit with you, but the divide, if you will, David, seems to be the crevice. It gets deeper on the board, on the 3-2 majority.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you had Crystal Foster was the latest to really, she sent out an email on Friday just hammering her colleague on the board, Michael Hicks, for Mr. Hicks supporting legislation that would in effect take away up to $64 million in DSEG money.
Oh, sure. And your show was in the middle of it, too, when you Adelita Grijalva on and had Mark Stegeman on. And
the superintendent
Dr.
was on.
Stegeman went and the superintendent and Dr. Stegman went on the morning shows on the same station. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of bad blood, and it's a shame. I don't know how to fix it. there are so many factions, and it's problematic. Right now, there is one faction, the three who are in the majority and tend to vote together, who really have the legal power because they can vote 3-2,
right?
And they tend to support what Dr. Sanchez is doing, and Dr. Stegeman and Mr. Hicks, Michael Hicks, tend to be on the other side. It's not an absolute split, and it's not good for the district. And this is one I just don't know how it's going to resolve itself until I don't know. There's another election.
And I know you heard the interview that I did with Dr. Sanchez. There's frustration on his part, and whether or not he'll stick it out. He said he assured us he'd go for the full 3-year contract, which he is in the middle of.
I hope he does. I'm I know his phone number, so if he doesn't, I'm going to get on him and start making his life miserable, because I do want him to stick around for all the bad things that people say about him. I think he's a very talented, able guy who doesn't do everything perfectly, but I have yet to see a CEO or a politician or anybody do things perfectly, and I think even his mistakes are in the right direction, so I support his general direction, and I hope he's here for 3 years. And if he wants to stick around and people want him to stick around, unless things take a turn for the worse, I'd like him to stick around longer. He's a young man and he's got a very, very bright career ahead of him. I'd like to see TUSD benefit from that.
And Dr. Stegman had said that he believes that if he does stick around for the 3 years, he would get, he believes, an extension, that the 3-member majority would give him the extension. I asked Dr. Stegman, what about you? How would you vote there? And he said he's not ready to make a decision.
And if he wanted to. And if you listen to some of the things that Dr. Stegman said, and I listened to the whole hour-long segment, mm-hmm. he actually praises, and I'll give Stegman credit for this, he praises Sanchez for some of the things mm-hmm. he's done.
Yeah.
A lot of things he dislikes, and you can say the phrase is damning with faint praise. You could say maybe he's doing that, but if you pull out all the statements he's made, and I get his newsletters, he actually speaks kindly of him in certain areas.
David Sefier, we'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly and the Northwest Explorer. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another local talk show, one of our shows coming up this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe. They'll be back here tomorrow, 6 to 8. The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, 1204. Back with Ed Alexander. Till then, have a great afternoon.
AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.